The Supreme Court is nearing the end of its term, with much open speculation about possible retirements, as well as when the justices will rule on a number of outstanding cases. Some of the biggest cases of the term have yet to come down. With us is NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. Nina, today the court issued four decisions, and I gather none of them were biggies?
My life, Michelle, is in June like waiting for Godot. None of today's four are what we inelegantly call A-plus cases.
So which of these, as you say, A-plus cases are we still waiting for?
The Michigan cases testing the constitutionality of affirmative action in college admissions, the case from Texas testing state laws that make homosexual conduct a crime among consenting adults. There's also a case challenging the federal law that requires public libraries to put filtering devices on their computers to filter out material that's harmful to minors. And there's the Nike case testing whether statements made in a public relations campaign can be punished if untrue under a California Truth in Advertising law.
And what do we get today?
We got a decision imposing some limits on the government's ability to forcibly medicate a person to make him mentally competent to stand trial. And we got a decision upholding the federal ban on corporate contributions to candidates for federal office.
I'd like to take a minute on the campaign finance decision, if I could. It comes as sort of a run-up to the big showdown over the McCain-Feingold campaign's finance law, which is expected this fall. How much can we read into this decision today?
Maybe a little bit. This was a challenge brought by North Carolina Right to Life, which won a lower court ruling invalidating the longtime ban on corporate contributions as applied to nonprofits. But today, the Supreme Court, by a 7-2 vote, upheld the corporate contribution ban for everyone, whether they're nonprofits or not. And one of the questions in the McCain-Feingold law is whether that kind of ban can be applied to political parties, not just candidates.
And let's get back to something we mentioned at the beginning. It seems like every time I open the newspaper these days, I see some sort of speculation about one or more of the justices retiring. Any hints emerging?
Well, that's why both conservative and liberal groups are gearing up. They're raising money, going ballistic. They're all anticipating the coming fight in capital letters. But I got to tell you, Michelle, the signs are sort of the other way. And the reason, oddly enough, is McCain-Feingold. The court scheduled a special hearing of that case in September, several weeks before the beginning of the October term. And that suggests that, as an institution, the court expects all nine members to be there, fully prepped, ready to go. And there will be provisions of that law that may well be upheld or invalidated by a 5-4 vote. A tie vote would uphold the lower court decision, except that nobody can really figure out what the lower court said in its 16-plus page decision, with shifting majorities and rationales. And we're not talking about chopped liver here. We're talking about the first major rewriting of campaign reform laws in a generation. And that's a law that's going to dictate the fundraising rules of the game in 2004 and thereafter.
And so just quickly, I gather there's no such thing as a retroactive retirement. Announce your retirement now, but in a case it would take effect after the case.
No, because you have to be writing the opinion for several months. And in the meantime, you're going to be hearing cases. And I can't figure out a way logistically that you could do that. So it doesn't. At least it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but hey, we're talking about the Supreme Court. They can do what they want, and I've been wrong many times, many, many times before.
Not too many times, though. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg updating us on the affairs of the Supreme Court. Thank you, Nina.
Thank you, Michelle.